Podcasting from the beautiful Mile High City, you're listening to the Do It Again podcast, the official podcast of Scientific Wrestling, the undisputed leader in no-holds-barred, catch-as-catch-can wrestling. Here's your host, Jake Shannon.
Into the Do It Again podcast, the official podcast of Scientific Wrestling. I am your host, Jake Shannon, and I have actually on the podcast today, I'll put it this way, if a year ago, or 4 years ago, now 2 years ago I could have envisioned it, but a year ago or 4 years ago, maybe not, but I'm actually pretty excited. I have a guy who is really, he's really made a name for himself. We've kind of gone back and forth and been on and off again and whatever, but I'm really excited to have him here, and he's actually going to be having a great match, a world title match for Catch as Catch Can Wrestling. So without any further ado, I'd like to welcome to the podcast, Curran Jacobs. Curran, are you there okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me on, man.
Yep, no worries. So Curran, Let's just clear the air. Beefs are squashed again, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, good.
Absolutely.
So what have you been up to, Curran? Or what is it that you want to say? Because I do want to get to the upcoming matches, which is very, very exciting. But I also want to follow up because, frankly, After our last tiff, I just blocked you, so I don't really know what you've been up to. So, please let me know, and everybody, all the listeners, know what have you been doing. Obviously, you've been training, but what else is new? I mean, lockdown, all these other things.
Yeah, man, I've really been working on my stand up in the last few years in preparation for MMA. You know, I feel extremely confident on the ground with anyone, my stand-up was pretty weak, and you know, with the help of my teammates at Murcielago MMA, they've really kind of helped elevate that. So you know, it took a while. I was on the fence about becoming a pro fighter, because you know, I know all the discipline and everything that comes along with that lifestyle, but I finally made the decision to do that. And yeah, man, just been training. I opened an academy during this time, which a lot of people think that I'm absolutely crazy. You know, the times are really crazy and a lot of businesses are hurting. A lot of people are hurting. But yeah, man, I opened up a wrestling academy in my hometown. I'm really excited about that. But, you know, I do have to address the first thing that you said, man, about the beef. It is squashed, you know. A lot of things were said, but, you know, what a lot of people don't know, you know, dating back to 2014 to when I was calling out Barnett on that online, you know, people don't understand how far back we go, you know,
it's been a minute, yeah.
But, yeah, it has. And, you know, there are a lot of catch tribes out there, a lot of people trying to do their thing the way that they believe that it needs to be done. And there's just a constant friction between the catch wrestling tribes. And I call them tribes because you know as well as I do, catch wrestling, what you're teaching, what Josh is teaching, you know, Joel Bain, all of these guys, what they're teaching is very, it's rare. It's rare. It's not as broad as Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu or any other grappling art.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just tough, man. And everyone has their own way of doing it. And I got caught up in that. I allowed my ego and pride to get the best of me. And, you know, I said some things that wish I could take back, you know, but how often do people look back in their 20s and say, oh man, wish I could take that back. You know, so I've learned, I've, you know, had a lot of growth. And I'm just really, really pumped and excited, man, that you and I could come on good terms, and Joel Bain and come together, man, because at the end of the day, we all love catch wrestling,
yeah,
you know?
And I really have to say, Kern, I, you know, as much of grief and how much you raised my blood pressure for years over some of this nonsense, I do have to give you kudos for, you know, being the bigger man and coming out and apologizing to me and you know, kind of extending the olive branch. So, you know, that I told you the last time that we squashed a beef that I do always believe in redemption and forgiveness. And I don't, you know, what you're saying about your 20s, I 100% agree. I did the same thing with a lot of people and created a lot of enemies and stuff. And it's just a big waste of time. As you get older, you kind of just seeing like the folly of such nonsense. But, you know, it's also part and parcel, I think, of catch wrestling. Like you said, like there are all these different camps. And the problem is, and you see this, you know, if you get into the kind of politics of a lot of type A or alpha male type of sport, you know, really high testosterone, super aggressive guys that just, you know, like look at USA Wrestling. It's you know, a lot of times they're their own worst enemies sometimes with the internal politics. And I think the same thing can be said of catch wrestling. So I am very glad that that you reached out, and I'm very excited for this upcoming match. So I just, it's so funny how everything works out because, you know, after the 2018 championships that Joel put on, and then I helped him with kind of last minute, mostly on the book side, booking things. After that match, you know, we were trying to get you booked with Star-Lord, LeDuc, Josh LeDuc, and it's just ironic now he's booking you in this upcoming match a couple years later.
Yeah, man. Yeah, but at the time, you know, Gordon Ryan had agreed to a bout, and that got me super excited because I still believe that I would defeat him in any style of grappling, you know. And once I sank my teeth into that, you know, everything else, that was my focus. That was my mission, was to take him out. And yeah, man, you know, you booked me with that match, and it's just another thing, man. It's another learning experience, you know. I wouldn't have been the champion had it not been for you and Joel and everyone involved in putting that tournament on. And, you know, I definitely did not play that right. I should have taken that match, beaten LeDuc, and continued with the momentum. But, you know, I didn't. And, yeah, ironically.
I mean, that's all water under the bridge. And we're here now. So tell me a little bit. And, I do have to say, I mean, for as much grief, and I do, again, I do laud this turning of the new leaf and this professionalism that you're showing. I appreciate that. That aside, I was always a fan of you, after seeing that. I'd never really seen you wrestle before. And, and, you know, I mean, I'm just going to be real with you. When I watched the match, I didn't see you as that much of a technician. I didn't see you as, you know, like a highlight reel kind of guy, but I just got to say, like, Jesus Christ, you came fucking conditioned. And I don't know what you mean, like, wind. Dude, you took such fucking lashes from all these big dudes. And, you know, so, like Brandon, like these are big, tough, top tier guys, maybe a little bit older than you, but still tough, tough vets. And man, you just wrestled your fucking heart out. And you really won me over as an athlete. You really did a fantastic job.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that a lot, you know, and you know, somebody just told me the other day, like, or asked me, you know, what mind, where were you mentally? And you're right, that tournament actually fell upon the 1 year anniversary of my mom's death. And I was still heavily grieving, you know, trying to figure life out. And yeah, I drew from a very deep, deep place of grief and pain and the loss of her love. You know, it's taking its toll, and it's taking its toll on the family, but we're all doing our best. But yeah, man, the last few, you asked me what I've been doing, the last few years, I've tried harnessing that pain and controlling it and being able to tap into it before competition every single time. And that hasn't been easy. That has not been easy. You know, that wasn't a very easy place to go, but you know, every competitor, whether they step in the cage or on the wrestling mat, they understand the nerves and they understand the anxiety that comes along with, competing. And, you know, I found this area in my head, this area in my mind, and I really delve into my imagination when I go. There's only just one goal at that point, one focus, and it's to win.
Yeah, that must be a very, that's tough. That's very tough in terms of taking yourself there a bit for motivation. You know, but I can also understand the sheer power of that in terms of, you know, purpose.
Definitely, man. And I got my master's in acting at Michigan State. That was a crazy time because, you know, you experience with different emotions, different skins, different characters. And in a lot of ways, you really have to know yourself before you apply those other layers. And tapping into, you know, believe it or not, that master's program helped me tap into these emotions and that place that, you know, I don't like to visit too often, but only when I compete, man, I find that space. My high school wrestling coach used to call it flipping the switch. He's like, "You ready to flip the switch?" And my 17, you know, 16-year-old self really didn't understand that. I kind of got the concept, but it didn't really hit until, you know, around that time, that tournament.
Yeah, I mean, it really was like a, it was like a baptism by fire. I still can see the pictures that you took, let alone, I mean, the craziness that you went through that night. That was a grueling tournament, but I think what people don't understand, they don't understand how tough Catch-as-Catch-Can wrestling is. I mean, what I've tried to have people understand over the years of me doing what I do and educating people about it is that catch wrestling is closer to MMA than it is submission grappling. And my personal reasons for believing so is that, yeah, it's a much rougher game. Everything's legal. I mean, you know, for the most part. And you've got two ways of winning, just like MMA. Whereas in MMA, it's the knockout and the submission. With catch wrestling, it's the pin or the submission. So there's a lot of parallels, I think, between the two. You said that, so where is this wrestling academy that you're going to, obviously it's Michigan, but what's the city?
Owosso, Michigan. It's my hometown, born and raised, and you know, have a lot of pride here, and it's home base. And yeah, man, I'm really excited about it.
Where is Owosso? Is that closer to Ann Arbor or?
It's about a half an hour in between Lansing and Flint. It's a small town, you know. Everybody knows everybody. Everybody's really friendly and it's home, man, and it's good to be back home.
Well, I sure hope it takes off for you. I mean, it's so frustrating to be in this business because every, you know, it's like, how long has wrestling been dealing with things like staph infections, like MRSA and shit, which to me is a much worse fate than COVID for a young, healthy person, that is, not for somebody over 55, but it's very
strange. Yeah, man, that's bad.
You know, so did you already open, or are you having a grand opening or what?
So we're still under some restrictions because of everything that's going on. You know, they just canceled fall football. You know, Michigan State University just announced that they're doing remote learning for the fall semester. So that, you know, they're not going to allow any students. There's no dorms, no nothing, man. It's a crazy time. Everything's up in the air. Everybody's got questions. Everybody is frustrated as all get out. But no, we're not officially opening. We're accepting a small group of Division I wrestlers and pro MMA fighters.
Oh. So you're really, it's more of a fight gym than like a retail gym.
Yeah, for now, you know, we got a list of people eager and waiting to get in. But unfortunately with the restrictions in place, you know, we can't open up and let them all in just yet, but, we're excited that there are a lot of people around the area that are excited. So that keeps us going and motivated and looking forward to it.
So, I do want to talk about this upcoming match, that you got for Zapatero, in a couple weeks in Orlando. But you'd mentioned MMA, so I know you've had a couple fights, so that's something that you're kind of scouting right now, is getting more and more bookings
for MMA. Yes. Hopefully I'll be fighting. I'll be back in the cage next month, late September, early October. I had a few fights lined up before COVID happened, and they were both canceled. Really upsetting. But didn't lose steam. You know, just kept waking up every day and grinding and waiting for the opportunity. And my first opportunity is with Quentin Rosenzweig next Saturday. So I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, that's going to be pretty gnarly. So, you know, the question that I got to ask, obviously, is, how are your leg locks?
Well, I don't necessarily, I'm not into that game, you know, and the Gordon Ryan, Craig Jones and Quentin Rosenzweig game, you know, that scooting forward on your butt and getting underneath your opponent, elevating them and snatching their legs. You know, that's not my game. I learn it. I've learned it, you know, since my match with Travis Nuaza, you know, just learning how to shut that down and know what's coming. And yeah, during training and practice, I would work on them, but you know, it's not anything that I think that I would utilize in a match because I prefer being in dominant positioning and legs are, you know, unless you do a scissors takedown or one of those dive in donkey takedowns, I don't know what they're called, but or go down to your butt and scoop forward. I mean, they're kind of hard to get from a wrestler's perspective. Unless, of course, they're in the turtle position or, you know, there are different, you know, toe holds and ways to implement pain on people's legs when they are scooting after you or when they're flat on their stomach or, like I said, you know, in turtle position. There's a lot of different toe hold variations and locks. But as far as, like, the traditional or the locks that we're seeing from the Gordon Ryans and the Quentins, like the 10th Planet even. Yeah, man, that's not my style.
Well, it seems to me, you know, and you know, I don't want you necessarily to give away any game plan or anything, but, you know, a lot of the way that these guys, especially when they're butt scooting, you know, it just seems like, especially in a catch match, it really would open them up to a lot of cradling, you know? So I'm curious to see if this – what Quentin has been doing with regards to his wrestling and trying to, you know, keep his knee away from his head and that kind of stuff. Have you been working with a lot of kind of 10th Planet guys, or what's your training been like for this camp?
Yes, I have been working with a few specialists that I know that really specialize in his style, you know, 10th Planet. And I got a few other black belts who I've had them watch his footage, you know, watch a lot of tape on the guy and kind of watch his setups and his entries. And yeah, man, it's going to be shut down because I'm not going to play the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu game. I'm not going to play that game. I'm not going to flow with him. I'm going to smash him. And that is what catch wrestling is. You bring pressure, you bring dominant positioning, and you enforce your will on them. And I don't think he's used to what's coming. So, you know, if he goes down to his butt, he's doing me a favor by getting himself closer to the mat where I can pin him. But, you know, and that's what I expect him to do. If he comes in, tries to battle me on the feet, you know, he's used to going down to his butt in every one of his matches. You never see him shooting like a wrestler. So he's not He's not a wrestler, and this is catch wrestling. However, I know what he's good at, and I'm not underestimating him.
Yeah, I mean, I know that you always well, you very much prepare very well, and you take it serious. I could tell that in 2018. And I am curious how he's going to do with the pressure. And not just, I don't mean the crushing pressure. I mean the pressure that in particular I see with you and your conditioning. I mean, I don't know if, you know, you're going to probably, I know how I've watched you so many times that night, and to see how you just kept attacking, I don't know how he's going to do with that. I mean, I hope that for our sake, for those of us out in the audience watching you two, I sure hope that he's got his wind up, because, man, I have not seen anybody in better shape than you in a long time in terms of conditioning. It's going to be a great match. I think it'll be an
interesting match. Thanks, man.
It'll be an interesting match. I'm curious about the length of time. If he can tangle you up or something, it might go. But, yeah, it's going to be fascinating. So I do want to talk a minute about and I don't want to talk about anything painful necessarily, but about your mom, and she passed from cancer, isn't that right?
She did. Yep, it's been 3 years.
Do you mind sharing what kind?
Yep.
Only because, you know, this is kind of a pet cause for myself, and you know, I think awareness of these things is probably one of the best ways to save lives, is have people know, you know, like, take it serious and get things checked out.
Definitely, man. And yeah, get things checked out, because my mom could have caught this a lot sooner. Had she went in, and, you know, she's so tough, man. She was literally, and I'm not being biased either, 'cause she's my mom, but that woman, her work ethic and just the way she carried herself, she was so strong to the, you know, her last breath. But it started in her lungs. She was a smoker. My mom was one of the girls smoking, you know, 12, 13 years old. And she come from a big family, lots of brothers, lots of sisters. And she smoked a lot, you know. And after my brother died, it was like she just upped her, the amount of her smoking, and we had conversations about it often, you know, because her mom, my grandma, died of lung cancer, and I expressed that concern to her often. And the day she was diagnosed with lung cancer, she quit cold turkey, had no problem putting the, you know, the cigarettes away, didn't even touch it till her dying day, didn't touch another cigarette. But started in her lungs, and she fought super hard and actually beat it. It was beaten. We had 2 weeks of the craziest celebration you don't even know. We celebrated so hard and was just so excited. And then boom, it spread into her throat, into her lymph nodes, into her throat. And then it went down into her pancreas. And it got worse in her pancreas, and then eventually went up to her brain. And shit.
Yeah.
She was tough as shit.
That's brutal. And you know, my condolences. And I, you know, I, it's funny because, you know, I haven't lost my mother yet. She's, we actually just moved her in with us, my wife, my three kids. She's aging, so, you know, her mobility's really pretty bad. She fell down a flight of stairs a couple of years ago and broke her back. She's had breast cancer.
Oh, no.
COPD, a stroke, all kinds of stuff, just all stacked in the last couple of years. So we moved her in with us, and she was a smoker. And now, you know, I mean, she beat breast cancer, but, you know, she can't walk 20 feet because she's choking because of the COPD from cigarettes. So, I definitely feel you on that. And thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome, man. Thanks for asking.
Out there, like, you know, Pin Cancer, and tap out cancer, I think, is the other one. that are really great organizations that are doing things in the grappling and wrestling community to raise awareness. Okay, so moving on from kind of the more somber topics, what else is going on? Now, you know, the original, kind of the way that you reached out to me, and you know, if this is top secret or something, you know, we don't have to talk about it, we can shelf it, but a producer had reached out and you guys are making a film about Catch as Catch Can.
Yes, DJ Perry with CDI, Collective Development Incorporated. He's a great guy. He, you know, makes his living off of making movies. I caught his attention. I worked with him a few times on some of his films, but we didn't really start, you know, talking and getting to know each other until, you know, I won that title. I found out he was a fellow martial artist, really into martial arts philosophy. And we just got together often, man. And he really helped me with my internal martial arts, you know, the mind. I think you could tell, you know, my mind was just, I was in a lot of pain, a lot of grief. And he really became a really close friend and got curious about catch wrestling. Cause you know, he was like, that was a crazy night, man. It was a crazy night. He was like, can't believe it. And, you know, just had a lot of positive things to say. And I started telling him about the history of catch wrestling and boom, he was like, oh my God. He was like, we need to tell this story. He was like, this is incredible. He was like, let's do a documentary and Bane and, you know, a few other key players that have been noted and helping the resurgence of Catch as Catch Can. And yeah, man, it's going to tell the history of catch wrestling all the way on up to, you know, that historic tournament in New Jersey to the one upcoming. And it's going to tell, you know, it's really going to highlight as well, you know, our veterans and those guys who continue to carry it on. You know, Joe Bain, of course, served, Billy Wicks, and all the way back to Joe Stecker and Earl Keddock. You know, those guys were both vets. And so that's going to combine those two passions, you know, the people who have served our country on top of helping carrying on the catch wrestling art. And yeah, man, I'm really excited about it. And I'm even more excited that you're going to be a part of it. Yeah, it's going to be great.
Yeah, it sounds pretty epic. And so, I mean, are you doing more with the acting stuff as well, or is that just kind of been shelved with all this COVID shit?
You know, I was supposed to be on a project in Vegas, and that was postponed. You know, SAG restrictions caused some rifts, and that was postponed. Actually, a lot of people are having a hard time getting up and running right now. You know, it's the restrictions are a pain in the butt. Yeah, man, I'm just taking it one day at a time right now. Focusing on MMA and this catch wrestling now, but if opportunities come up, I'll take them on the acting side of things. But yeah, that's kind of been shelved while I've been focusing on, you know, martial arts, not just physically but internally, you know. Yeah. Philosophically, and I've been pretty adamant about those, about the growing in those areas.
Yeah, you know, life throws you some bullshit, you know, some trauma, and it really is. Sometimes we don't realize it, but it's important how we process it, you know, because, I think, you know, something as traumatic as an experience as you've had in your family, you know, with deaths in your immediate family, It's very interesting, you know, how sometimes that trauma plays out, and in good ways, you know, like how you're channeling it and using it, but then also in kind of maybe some unforeseen ways too. So kudos to you, Curran, for taking it and growing and continuing to grow and continuing to learn and continuing to be open and continuing to wrestle. So I got to ask you, how old are you? Are you what, 33, 34, something like that?
I'm going to be 32 next month.
32. Ah, so you got a little bit of gas in the tank.
32. Yeah, man, I'm honestly feeling in my prime. Like I'm excited to compete. I learned a lot from New Jersey. That taught me a lot. The the amount of pain and suffering endured that night, you know, made me kind of look at the film and kind of figure out ways that I can take less damage next time.
Well, I mean, to your credit, listen, I will say this. Like, that was such a crazy show in so many fucking ways. And I mean, I to this day, will put that show up to the people who are in that fucking, in that gym. The energy was fucking electric. And I mean, it was one of the best shows. Now, of course, I'm totally biased because I was totally, I had skin in the game up to my fucking teeth, but it was an electric show. And, it was a great show for kind of being thrown together at the last minute because, it was originally just going to be an open tournament, right? And then when Josh threw down the gauntlet, it was like, fucking, I'm doing this. You know, Joel called me up and he's like, dude, holy shit. You know, what do I do? I was like, man, let me make some phone calls. And that's when we got everybody booked. Like, we only had like 3 weeks to book people around that show. And we changed it from an open into an invitational. I mean, literally on a dime. And I think Joel was just in the hospital with like a massive heart problem. He still had like wires coming out of his chest and shit.
He told me that, man. He told me that. I couldn't believe it.
It was a wild night. And the electricity in there also, too. I mean, you know, all the bad blood and stuff aside. But, man, it was like times I thought there was going to be a riot in there, too. It was like the energy was just through the roof. It was a special
I know,
night.
Man.
It was a special night.
I know. It really was. And I think that we can, you know, take that special atmosphere and continue with it, you know, continue with that momentum and keep the ball rolling, because you're absolutely right, man. I believe that once the audience, the grappling audience, the pro wrestling fans, the wrestling fans get a load of this show,
yes,
catch as catch can. Oh,
it's dude, what people don't understand, like everybody in grappling gets all fucking like bent over the idea of a pin. But they don't understand. That's what makes it interesting. You know, outside of Iowa and a couple big wrestling cities, it's very hard to get people to like a judo tournament or a wrestling tournament. They just don't draw to make it like a professional league. And man, that night, the action, the wrestling, I mean, it really was just a fantastic thing. And like I say, Curran, I mean, I didn't, you know, we were trying to find a bunch of stuff and there wasn't like, you know, you were definitely fighting up a weight. You know what I mean? I'm not even sure. What were you weighing that day?
I weighed 198 before that tournament.
Everybody you're up against is either 220 or above.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of weight. And I just, like I said, like we couldn't really make a huge highlight reel because most of it was basically like these guys just blowing their wad. And then you doing a rope-a-dope and crawling behind him and fucking David and Goliath, like, just putting him to sleep. It was an epic. I mean, it really was like a Rocky story. I mean, you and I have talked about this before. I mean, it really was like such almost like a classic Rocky story to watch. It was a really special night. And I appreciate you putting it all out on the line and really grinding through that, man, because I know you were hurting for a few days after that.
Thank you, brother. Thank you so much. Yeah, it was something. I was hurting. But yeah, it was a hell of a night.
One match. You only have one match, and hopefully these rounds don't go like 7-8 rounds, these 7 or 8 falls before you guys before somebody wins. So the Zapatero that LeDuc is putting on, this is August 29th. It's going to be in Orlando. You can, I know go to the Instagram, and it's S-A-P-A-T-E-I-R-O. I think I'm saying it right. I'm probably butchering it. Zapatero.
Yeah, you totally did. No, that was right.
Is that right? I'm totally guessing.
The Zapatero. Yeah. I've had to hashtag that.
Yes.
I've had to hashtag it, and I'm like, oh man, I keep butchering this word. Is it Zapatero, Zapataro? Well, so yeah, man, I feel your pain on that one.
The E and I are kind of backwards from what I feel is natural, but whatever. So guys, go to Zapatero _ Invitational. Zapatero and then an _ Invitational on Instagram. And it's got all the details. You can get, LeDuc is going to be doing like a live feed so people who can't come to Orlando can watch it. But by all means, I know tickets are fucking already hot. I was talking to Josh the other day and he said I can't remember the exact number, but he said something like, and there's still 2 weeks to promote. Usually these things sell out only a couple days before. He's already sold out like, I think something like 40 or 50% of the venue, which is amazing. So if you're wow. in the Orlando area and you're a fan of grappling, MMA, pro wrestling, not the stupid bodybuilder shit, but like the more technical, hard-hitting wrestling, the Japanese-style wrestling, Catch-as-Catch-Can, I think I mentioned, you got to get there. This is going to be an epic, epic night. And you're going to see Curran, and you're only going to get like probably a couple minutes of him this time. How many minutes did you wrestle? How many minutes did you wrestle that night?
It was over 90 minutes.
Fuck. I don't know if people really can fucking understand. That's like a climbing Mount Everest fucking situation that you did that night.
Yeah, man, that was really tough. And fortunately, like you said, I've only got one guy next Saturday. And, you know, if he stays off his butt, it could be a little longer. But if he goes down to his butt, it may not last very long. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm not in there to entertain. I'm in there to get the job done. And in my eyes, it's going to be an absolute dogfight. I'm preparing for the best grappler in Quentin. But, you know, at the end of the day, I do believe in myself and what I'm capable of doing. And I'm going to bring it to him.
Yeah, I mean, if Quentin is listening to this, I mean, the only advice I can give him is, like, seriously get your conditioning up. And I don't just mean your wind or anything like that. I mean
legit, man. Like seriously. I know. And I talked about this with Joel already. I know what was said in the video. And I can about imagine, you know, gotta be feeling a little hesitant. Things were said and done on both sides, but at the end of the day, you're right, man. I wasn't thought through. But I'm glad that you gave me the opportunity to talk with you about it and move on.
Yeah, I've been in the same boat. When I was a young man, I've made similar mistakes. And while I'm, I don't condone what you did, but I think that you, it seems to me, you've sincerely taken it under consideration and. And I do appreciate you reaching out, and I wish you the best of luck. So I'm looking forward to seeing you on the 29th.
Yeah, me too. Me too. So am I.
Well, I appreciate the call, and like I said, I do sincerely appreciate the apology. I'm big on forgiveness and whatnot. I mean, I've had to ask forgiveness many times in my life, so I get it, bud.
Just give me time, man. You'll see. You'll see. All right. It is sincere.
I appreciate it, Kern.
Yeah.
Okay. If you ever need anything, all right, reach brother. Out, okay.
It sounds good, man. Sounds good. Yeah. Don't be afraid to reach out to me either. Goes both ways, my man.
All right, buddy. Thanks, Kern.
All right, brother. Have a good night.
You too. Bye.